Father, we bow our heads and our hearts before you, knowing that you possess all the wisdom and knowledge in the universe, and you have communicated to us what your will is concerning our lives here and the future of this planet Earth. We ask that you would help us to live wisely as we read about these things. Help us to store this information. Help us to communicate it to others. And help us to be diligent in the study of this word, that your will might be done and you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Last time we were together, we talked about the kingdom of the Antichrist and the Ten Commandments, and I showed you from Scripture how each one of those commandments, the kingdom of the Antichrist, violates and is in opposition to each one of them, whether it's have no other gods before me, you become an idol worshiper in the kingdom of the Antichrist. And you're not supposed to take God's name in vain, and cursing and blaspheming come from the Antichrist, and it's part of that culture. And then I explained how that culture is really taking over our culture here in America, where it's becoming godless and we're becoming idolaters and we are blaspheming God by the things that we do. And we saw that there is, in fact, Satan and the Antichrist, and we left off with dealing with the beast. Now, in Revelation chapter 13, it says in verse 11, "Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed." And so that is the Antichrist. Remember, there's a false trinity. There is Satan, the Antichrist, and there is this false prophet. Now, this false prophet, as we'll get to in later chapters, is probably the head of the religious organization. It's the melding of the religious and the political. Now, we've seen that before. Weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, I talked about that molding together of the religious. And I said, imagine the politicians who are running for office, if they just started praising God and saying everything was wonderful and God's on the throne and Jesus Christ is his son, and mixing that with the politics of the land, not being afraid to offend somebody because of their faith. Well, that's what's going to happen during this time of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be the political leader, and the false prophet here is going to be the religious leader. And this false prophet has tremendous power as well. He made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast. So he has this power that he holds over the individuals who live here on the earth, that they must bow the knee to that which is the Antichrist, or to he which is the Antichrist. Verse 13, "And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men." Now, who else did we just discover is able to do this? It's the two prophets, right? They're able to call down fire and destroy those who are amongst them. Now, if somebody comes along and is able to do the same thing, it can be confusing to those who are on the earth here. Well, who do I follow? This guy can call down fire and devour somebody, and so can these two prophets who claim to be from God. So which one is right? But they'll have conflicting messages. That's why when you examine truth here, somebody comes to you and they say they have a truth, you have to examine it in light of Scripture. Now, I do believe there is more truth that is not contained in Scripture, but all truth is God's truth. And how do you determine whether or not it's from God? How do you determine if it came from his very lips or he penned it himself through his apostles and his prophets? You go to the Word and you check it out there. If it's not in the Word, it's suspect. It's greatly suspect. It must be in harmony. That's how we determine our doctrine. That's how we determine our practice. That's how we determine our belief system. Like, for instance, if somebody comes along and says, Jesus Christ is not God, well, that violates what Scripture has to say. Romans 9, 5, Titus in chapter 2, it talks about that Jesus Christ is, in fact, God in human form. And so that's how we determine if a message is valid. Now, there's a great delusion that's coming that would deceive even the very elect if that were possible. How is it going to happen? Through these miraculous signs that will take place, they will confirm what they're teaching, but that teaching will violate Scripture. And that's what we want to use every day. If somebody comes along with a new wind of doctrine, you want to be able to examine it according to Scripture. That's why we need to know Scripture. It used to be the practice that large sections of Scripture, and even in some countries today, and people in the United States, they memorize huge portions of it. In Psalm 119, David said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, referring to the Father. We need to do that as well. We need to have those scriptures down in our heart. Now, there are several scriptures we all know. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, we have certain verses like that memorized, or the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. That's a hard one, I know, but you can memorize verses if you just ask the Lord to give you help. And we think, well, I can't even remember phone numbers. You'd be surprised. Just ask the Lord. I remember a long time ago, Stan and I were talking about memorizing scripture, and he goes, I can't do it. It's not in my mind. I can't do it. And then he went off and he memorized a bunch of scripture. And he was able to, you know, ask the Lord and got the Lord's help to do so. And that's what keeps us in check. That's what gives us direction, is when those scriptures come to mind, the Lord is speaking to us. But you must put the word in there. And so this is how we determine what false doctrine is. In verse 14, it says, because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. Now, I don't know how this is going to be worked. This image that is set up, it's given some type of power. I don't know. I haven't a clue how this is going to happen and how this image is going to speak. Now, it could be that it is an image like a hologram or something like that. I don't know. Back in these days that this was written, if you had something like a handheld telephone that had GPS and it had all kinds of applications on it, and you took it back then, you would have the power in the box and you could make the box speak if you put it on speakerphone. And so if that's how it's being communicated here, maybe it's some type of technology, maybe it's a hologram or something like that, I don't know. But this image is given power. And whoever does not worship this image is killed. I don't know. This is a mystery to me how this works out. But the false prophet sets this up. Now, in verse 15, it says, he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small, great, rich, and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. This verse right here, a personal note, this verse right here led me to the Lord. And you go, well, how did this do it? I was on a date in high school. I went to see The Omen. And at the end of the movie, The Omen, they had this verse. And, you know, when you're in high school, you're kind of like a little fearful. You don't know what's going on. So I said, no way. So I went home and I opened up the Bible and I go, there it is. It's right there. If the Bible is true, then this Antichrist guy is going to be true. Now, the movie was completely off. But I started going, wait a second. This Antichrist guy is going to show up. What's he going to do? And so I started getting interested in this. And people would talk about the Bible and go, I want to know more about that. And this verse was instrumental. Now, what does this mean, 666? Some people are going through these calculations. They'll take your name and they'll give it a numerical equivalent, your first, middle, and last name, and they add up those letters, which stand for numbers, and they'll see if it adds up to 666. For instance, Henry Kissinger's name adds up to 666. And there are several people throughout history that their names have added up to 666. Now, in the Hebrew and the Greek language, you have alpha, that is number one, beta, number two. Alpha, beta, you know, used to be the store, one and two. That's how it worked. And also in the Hebrew, it's the same way. And so they will take these Hebrew and Greek equivalents and, you know, they'll try to find out who the Antichrist is. And it's all in this numerology. And you have to be careful about this numerology. There are numbers that repeat throughout Scripture. And there is some significance to it. But it's kind of vague as to if they are consistent or not consistent on these things. Like, for instance, 8 is the number of new beginnings, you know, and 7 is the number of completion, and 6 is the number of man, and you will go through different things like that when you work with numbers. And so people are trying to find the Antichrist, some person who is rising in power that has the numerical equivalent in their name of 666. Has anyone checked out whether John McCain or Obama has the number 666? You know, that I'm sure somebody has already done it to see if one of these individuals would qualify. But I also believe he's probably going to come out of Europe or somewhere in the Middle East over there. And so the number of this guy, this Antichrist, is 666. Now, there's a bunch of turmoil whenever you get a credit card and some of the digits are 666, or you get a bank account and it's 666, or you get a telephone number and it's 666. And some people are kind of afraid about that. Don't worry about it. It's not going to affect you at all if you get some of that. It's been said before when I used to attend Horizon with Mike McIntosh, you would go to the bus depot, and the bus depot, which is at the base of Golgotha where Jesus Christ was crucified, these buses are pulling in there, and the beginning three numbers on their license plates were 666. You know, and they go, Lord, you know that that's the case at the foot of the cross over there. These buses have the number 666 on them. We can get in all this hysteria about these numbers, and we don't need to do so. These numbers have really no significance for us except for identifying who this Antichrist is for those who are in the tribulation. You'll be able to know who he is by calculating his number, and his number is 666. Now, with that, there's going to be a mark. A mark which you will not be able to buy or sell without the mark. Now, currently, you have a card. You cannot buy or sell without identification unless you have just cash. They normally don't ask you for identification if you have cash. Now, they're in the process of changing all the cash. We get new $5 bills, I think, over the past few years. They've changed two or three times. Same thing with the 20s, and they're changing color, and they're making them more difficult to counterfeit. Well, pretty soon, I believe, cash is going to be gone. You won't be using cash anymore. Some places don't like to receive it. They would just rather take your debit card or credit card. And most of this information I have talked to you guys about before. Now, I am going to refresh your mind on this a little bit. Now, concerning this mark, I don't believe it's going to be an RFID chip, per se. Now, if you do a search on the internet, and there are some real people who are in a hysterical fit about the RFID chip and what it does, and it's a radio frequency identification chip, and they come in all sizes and all shapes. My wife has a purse, and inside the purse, when we walk into like Walmart, it sets off the alarms because inside the purse is an RFID chip that has not been deactivated, and they've tried a couple of times to deactivate it, and it hasn't worked. So we walk through and we walk out, and it sets off the alarms when she has that purse. Everything you're going to purchase in the future, even Walmart has already said they want everything in Walmart to have an RFID check or chip. And what they can do with this is they have receivers throughout the store. They know how much stock is actually in the store. They know what goes through the aisle or the checkout counter. When it is debited on the cash register, it deletes from the stock which is there, and you are allowed to leave the premises with the stock in hand. If you try to go outside without paying for it, then it's not deactivated. You know, you go to Home Depot, and they rub your things over the counter there to disavow the RFID chip inside the material. I was once at Home Depot when a guy was buying a $1.50 receptacle, you know, the thing that's in the wall that you plug in, and it had some type of RFID. He tried to get out with it, and they were saying, dude, if you're going to steal something of worth, not something that's $1.50, and they called the police, and they took the guy to the side, and the smallest of things are going to have these RFID chips or these tags. It can be as thin as a piece of paper that's on there, and usually it's a little band of brass or something like that, and it has a little antenna on it, and within 10 feet or so, they can determine what is going in and out of the stores. Now, your shoes and your clothing, all of these things will eventually have this type of ID because it works great for commerce. Now, with that, some of these stores you'll be able to go to, and you'll just be able to have a cart full of whatever, and you'll be able to go through without ever stopping at the cash register and just exit through the doors, and the scanners will register everything, including a little chip or a card that you may have. You may have to swipe the card, but then you can just walk through. It will automatically debit your bank account. Now, we see this coming. It's on the horizon. It's going to take place. There are smart cards which are out there. When we went to the airport on our trip to Aruba, they just wanted our passports, and that was it. They didn't ask for anything else a couple of times. All they did was take the passport and swipe it in their keyboard. Everything came up for me and who I was and where I was going. And it's like, oh, that's pretty ingenious, you know, just to swipe that thing. And I was in the flight, and they just gave us the boarding passes, and that was it. And you can get the boarding passes online. You can pay online. You can operate pretty much cashless if you would like to. You can even get your bonds delivered cashless if you just pay online and order it. And you see how we're just falling into that. Well, imagine that passport or the driver's license. You can lose it, right? Yeah, you can lose your wallet. When I was on the trip, I was concerned, where's my passport? Is it in the safe? Where is it exactly? I want to keep it with me in case there's a problem. But I didn't have to carry cash. You know, if I went to the little captain's galley and got a hamburger, I just said, room number 7317. And they just debited it and goes to the front desk, and here's your invoice, sir. And never, I did give him some cash, but I didn't have to give him cash. He would just go on a credit card, and I could have gone there and left without paying anything. And there were certain stores in the town there in Orangestad that I could have purchased things and just debited it to my room, and I wouldn't have to have anything. Actually, it's kind of nice, you know, being able to go somewhere and not have to carry any cash or identification. They just swipe it and they say, thank you very much, and you just go on your merry way. And so that's the way that our economy is going. Now, how do you get the mark of the beast into that realm? Well, we just see where it's heading. Instead of the identification which you carry around, just put it on your person. Just put some type of identification on your person. This mark. Now, this mark that is going to be given, I don't know if it's going to be some type of symbol, or if there's going to be a symbol with some type of computer technology with the symbol, if it's going to be lasered on or in, if it's going to be applied like tattoo type of thing, or I don't know how it's going to work, but it's going to be checked. You won't be able to buy or sell unless they check for this mark. Now, it just makes sense that in our age, it would be some type of electronic check, that you wouldn't be able to counterfeit it in any way. Like, for instance, if it was just a mark, well, you get your tattoo, you know, and you just do your thing. Well, you can counterfeit that. And so there has to be some type of technology associated with that, where they maybe scan it. And once they scan it, they know exactly who you are. They would know who you are at all times and in all places. For instance, on the battlefield, they have talked about installing chip in military individuals on the battlefield in the hip or pelvic area, because they believe if you're blown apart, that's usually one of the areas that remains fairly intact. And so they can identify who you are just by fragments of your body. And it's an RFID type of chip, and it will tell them everything they need to know about your remains if you're on the battlefield. And there are some guys on the internet, they've already taken the chip just like the pets, and they said, this won't come unless we start doing it ourselves. And this guy shows his little scar where he has his RFID chip underneath his hand right here, and he's kind of proud of it, and he's encouraging everybody else to do it. Well, it's going to come. Now, you don't want to take the mark. Those who take the mark will see are damned. They will not be able to inherit the kingdom of God. And so the mark is not to be taken. When I witnessed to my brothers about this during the tribulation period, I said, if you were still here, he goes, well, I just won't take the mark. I said, you don't get it. That doesn't get you into heaven either, just not taking the mark. You'll just starve to death and then be judged after that. And what good is that? You want to make sure that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you have eternal life. And so this mark that is going to be placed upon individuals, it's either going to be a mark on the hand or on the forehead, on the right hand or on the forehead. And there will be some, I believe, some type of scanning system. And if you just put that together with our technology today, it's really going to be cashless. If they have to identify who you are, they'll know everything about you. They won't need to have anything from you. They can have your bank account right there. You can get your bank account anywhere in the world. You can pull out money wherever you would like. And the system is already worldwide, and you can see it's going in that way. This also deletes or gets rid of the black market. And so everything will be able to be taxed, and the government will like this. Everything will be able to be tracked. Everybody will be controlled, so to speak. They will know where you are. They already pretty much know where you are anyway. You get gas, you swipe your ARCO or your Chevron card, right? Goes into an electronic system which can be monitored. You don't think the CIA and the FBI have access to this type of information? The cameras which are out there, the new vehicles having chips in them, they have the GPS locator. I got for my birthday an iPod, and in that iPod it has a little chip and it detects wireless networks. And if they know that I purchased that, whether it was a debit or a credit card, they can look me up through the record of the credit card or debit card to find the particular model with its ID and its chip, and they can locate exactly where I am at any time. Like with your cell phones, it's the same thing. They will know where you are at any time, any place, if you have that cell phone on. What about the technology that they said they used to have, the old rotary phones? They could dial them up without ringing them and listen to what's going on inside your household. They can probably dial up your telephone and hear what you're talking about, even though you haven't opened it up, if it's on. And the only way to get around that is to pull the battery off. There's news about that. Even now, the Echelon service, which is out there, that tracks all emails, all electronic transmissions, all faxes, they know exactly, if they want to find you and what you're doing, they can do it. You're on the internet. They know exactly where you're going, what you're doing, who you're talking to. All they have to do is go to your name and everything associated with you. And so that's the perfect environment for the Antichrist and his system to control the people of the world. And that's what it's about. It's about control. Is your government trying to control you now? Yes, they are trying to control you. They're trying to control you by the taxes they levy, by what you're allowed to purchase, what you're not allowed to purchase, where you're allowed to go, where you're not allowed to go. It's a privilege to be on the roadways. They tell you that. It's not a right. And they can control your life, and that's what they're after. And so this is what the Antichrist and Satan himself desires, not only to control you, but to ultimately destroy you. Now, this false prophet, he spoke like a dragon. He has this authority. He performs miraculous, and he requires this mark to be installed. Now, again, this mark is not new. It's not unique. If you remember all the way back to the Garden of Eden, you had Cain and Abel, and Cain killed Abel. And once Cain killed Abel, God came down, and God did not judge Cain at that time. But what did he do? He banished him to a land. Anybody remember the name of the land? The land of Nod. It was called the land of Nod. He banished him to the land of Nod. But he also put a mark on his head so that if anybody saw him, they would not kill him, because God wanted him alive to suffer through or be punished or to be judged for what he had done when he was on the earth. Because Cain said, you know, somebody's going to kill me if they see me. And God put this mark on his forehead that all the days that he lived here on this life, people would know who he was by the mark on his forehead. Also, in the book of Ezekiel, the Jews were involved in idol worship at that time. And God was judging the nation of Israel. And he came to Ezekiel and he told Ezekiel to grab these men that were over there, and they all had the sword, and they were to go through and slaughter old men, young men, maidens, women, and children, but do not touch anyone who has the mark, is what it says. And they were to go through and put a mark on all of those people who were sorry, who were crying out to the Lord because of the state of the nation. That if you went by and you saw them, they were probably on their knees, they were weeping for the nation, maybe sackcloth and ashes, and they would put a mark on their forehead. Everybody else, without mercy or compassion, was killed during this time because God saw that they had fallen into idolatry. And so we have at least two cases in the Old Testament where this mark has been placed on the foreheads of individuals. Now, this is also going to take place with the 144,000, which we'll see that they have the mark of God. In chapter 7, it talked about it, the mark of God on their forehead. And so Satan, the Antichrist, is just mimicking what God has already done. Remember I told you a few weeks ago, he doesn't have an original thought in his brain. This Antichrist comes along and he claims, you know, to do all this stuff, but he's just trying to repeat and mimic what God has done to try to take over. And he wants to sit on the throne of the Most High. And so that's the system with the Antichrist, Satan, the false prophet. This mark of the beast is going to come along. I don't believe we have to worry about it ourselves. I believe that we will be gone when this mark of the beast is implemented. But you will not be able to go to the grocery store. You will literally starve if you do not take this mark. And on top of that, you'll be judged. And it says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, that there are those who did not take the mark that lost their heads, so their heads were cut off. So the false prophet is going to cause everybody to receive this mark. And they're going to have it to buy or sell. And as far as the world is concerned, it makes sense. Stops the black market, electronic funds transfer, no longer any cash. They know where you are at all times. You can even sell it to parents, so to speak, secular parents. What happens if your kid disappears? Well, he has a mark. You can instantly locate him. We have LoJack for that right now, right? For your cars. You don't have LoJack for your kids, but you have LoJack for your cars. And or for your motorcycle or whatever it is, that your boat and RV. You can find where these things are at any time. So as far as the world is concerned, it's great. It's fantastic. It will do all of your commerce and it will let you get access to many different places. But it will also keep you out of where you should not be. Imagine getting a DUI. You get a DUI and they say, you are no longer able to drive. Well, you get in your car, you start it up, all of a sudden there's a signal sent to some computer somewhere that your car is operating. And they want to know who's in it. So maybe they have a GPS locator on you, whether it's in your car or in your cell phone, and all they have to do is tap into a camera on the street and say, is that him in the car? And then they just send out a few units, and they come and get you, and voila, you are automatically compliant. Now, some might say, oh, come on. Is it really going to be like that? They're making movies about it. And usually when you see the movies, what was the movie with Harrison Ford? It was Clear and Present Danger or something like that. It was, how many years ago was that? 15 years ago, maybe? They had this infrared from a satellite going into a terrorist camp, having the infrared images move around the camp. That was 15 or 20 years ago. I remember President Nixon, Henry Kissinger, talked about President Nixon, how they listened to a telephone conversation in Brezhnev's limousine from a satellite in space. Now, how long ago was that? President Nixon. I remember I was a sophomore in high school back then. President Nixon, that was at least 10 years ago. And it's this. If they have that technology back then, what do they have now? I just heard on the radio coming over here, they have found 42 tunnels leading from the Gaza Strip to Egypt to smuggle arms underneath. And they said, it's because of top secret technology that the United States has that it was employed in Israel that they found these tunnels. 42 tunnels. I just heard it this morning. How do they do that? How do they find tunnels underneath the ground? Is it listening devices? Is it like an X-ray thing? How can they see the bodies moving through there? How do they do that? We don't even know the technology that they have right now. How long has the stealth technology been out there? You know, for airplanes. Since Nixon, that stealth technology has been out there. And so what they have today and what they can do, it is beyond us. It is well beyond us. We don't know what's out there. And the Antichrist will be able to take care of all of that. He'll control all of that. And he'll be able to control you and myself if we were here. Now, in order for this to take place, the Antichrist truly has to be in control. And not just in control of you, but in control of everything. Now, take for a minute. We're going to jump to right now, the present day, this Sunday in October. How much Let me ask you, how much land in the United States does the U.S. government own? Now, I once saw a map of this, and I thought, well, how much is in flying over the country that we just did? There's so much open space. I can't believe, you know, as far as being overpopulated, it just ain't happening. It may feel like that inside the cities, but as soon as you get out of the cities, it said in this one article I was reading, 77% of the population of the United States lives in 3% of the land in the United States. The rest is just open space. It's 85 or 89% of the state of Nevada is owned by the United States government. Over 50% of the state of California is owned by the United States government. If you look at maps, everything west of the Rockies is pretty much owned completely by the United States government. And you go and you start doing research on it, and you see that east of the Mississippi, there's a little more private ownership there. But some estimates say, well, only 8% is owned by the U.S. government. I found another study that said, well, it's close to 50% of the land in the United States is owned by the United States government. You say, well, 50%, they're not in control of everything. Put on the brakes a minute. Have you read about the reserve and corridor system to protect biodiversity? Have you heard about that? Like, for instance, if you have a lake, it is a wetland. And if that wetland is there, do you have control over it? No, you don't. Matter of fact, years ago, we were looking at some property in up the Highway 8 corridor, and they said, well, yeah, there's 5 acres here, but you can only use 1.3. I go, what's the deal? And they said, well, this is where the San Diego River begins. And I go, what? And there was this little valley. You know, it was just like, it started at 6 inches deep, and then it went to a foot deep, and then it went to 3 feet deep by about 3 feet wide. And they said, that's it right there. That's the beginning, one of the beginnings of the San Diego River. Therefore, it's a riparian wetland, and so you can't do anything with that. All the way to the coast, you can't do anything with that. And since it cuts across this particular chunk of land, you can't use it. This guy did a map. His name is Dr. Michael Kaufman. If Daryl were here, I'd put it up for you. And it shows these circles with corridors connecting all the circles. And it just about covers the entire United States. There are these little spots like Indian Reservation over here, or part of a city that the city owned. And so the government, basically, through this biodiversity, through the environmental movement, has taken control of literally the entire country. Even what you possess is not yours. For instance, I know in the Lake Tahoe area, and I'm not really getting off point here, I want you to stick with me. In the Lake Tahoe area, if you buy a piece of property up there outside the city, it will take you 3 years to get a permit to build. If you buy inside the city, it will take you 8 years to get a permit to build, unless you have about $100,000 and you can buy the allocation to build your property. So, do you really own your property if somebody says you can't build on it? If you take away property value, or if you take away the value of property in the hands of those who hold it, do you take away their wealth? You do. That's why it's in the Constitution of the United States that you have the right to own land, because if you have land, you have the ability to make money. If you have the ability to make money, you become independent. You become powerful if you have money. You take away the right of the land, even though the government doesn't hold it. They control everything on there. Therefore, they control you and how much money you can make, and they can tax you, and voila, the entire country is owned or controlled by the United States government. And so the Antichrist needs to come in and be able to control that. It's already set up. Now, not only that, let me ask you, who owns your home? Probably Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae. They hold, what is it, 75% of the mortgages in the United States somewhere. You know, I could be a couple of percentage points off. And what did they just do with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Now, it's a government entity already. Now, I was also listening to a program, and all the loans that are being issued now must conform to the guidelines of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Why? So they can purchase it if they want to, or it can be sold to them. So your property is owned by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, which is controlled by who? The government. So your house is not yours. The property is controlled by others. Well, let me ask you, who owns your stocks? When I was in Aruba, I was watching Fox News, and apparently the government's jumping in and bailing out these companies, these stock companies. Now, I know Merrill Lynch was bought up, I think it was by Bank of America and Lehman Brothers, they were going under, but it's all through the Federal Reserve, right? So the Federal Reserve comes in and says, we'll broker this deal, but we need to maintain control over what's going on because our hands are in it, the FDIC. And so who controls your stocks? Not you. It's the government. Again, well, who's trying to control your healthcare system? The government. They want to get in there and just take over. They think that they can do it better. Who controls the energy resources in this country? The government. Flying back, we went over the Gulf of Mexico, and I looked out of the plane, and I saw hundreds of oil platforms out there in the Gulf of Mexico. And I thought, wow, the government owns a lot, you know, because they give the leases for that. And so they can control, like, you want to put up a windmill on your property? Just try it. Just go ahead. Just try it. You want to dig a well on your property? Go ahead. Just do it because you own the property. To pay no regard to the government. Just go ahead and do it. See if anything happens to you. You want to build something on your property? Go ahead. Just try it. See if they don't have the little kamikaze Nazi enforcers come out and just shut you down and make you tear it down and restore everything that was out there according to the natural state of things. And you see, if they control your stock. By the way, who controls your bank? Wachovia? WaMu? Did you have an account at WaMu?
Yeah.
Now, get a load of this. WaMu, there's Citibank, right? Citibank comes in and says, we want WaMu. With the help of the FDIC, we're going to purchase this. Now they're crying foul because Wells Fargo, who is fairly independent, comes in and says, no, we'll give you more. And Citibank is going, this isn't fair. Stop. And so they're bringing in the government, trying to stop this merger with Wells Fargo and WaMu. I think it's WaMu. And they don't want it to take place because they want to have control. So if you think you control anything, let me ask you this. When you go home, I want you to open your door. First, look at your door. Because that door has certain specifications. It has to be a certain height, certain width, certain thickness for a front door. Then look at the jamb. The jamb has to fit the door and be in conformity with building codes in the area. Walk into your house and look at the walls. The drywall on the walls has to be 5/8 inch thick for fire code. You might even have a fire system, an extinguishing system inside your house, which the government said had to be there. And you look at your carpet, and that carpet is controlled by the government and tax, and it's very, very different processes of being manufactured. Everything in your house, you pull a glass off the shelf, and that glass has been taxed and regulated. The food inside of your refrigerator has been taxed and regulated. Everything in your house has been taxed and regulated by the government. The government controls everything that you do and that you have. And it's perfect, I digress, for the Antichrist to come in. I mean, what happens if he wanted to freeze the markets all of a sudden? Easy. Just to say, well, you know, the FDIC is the one in control, and we can go ahead and take care of this, and Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, you know, they're part of the government, we can do that. And that's just in the United States. It's worse overseas. Everything is nationalized. And so you see how the Antichrist can come in? He can just control everything. Now, I hope I've made you completely comfortable with everything you possess and the way that your life is lived, but that is what is necessary. So the government controls your wealth, your health care, the energy, the banks, the stocks, your home ownership, the land that you hold, all of that. Now, I was going to jump into Revelation chapter 14, but I wanted to finish out that Trinity that's going to be here. This is what is going to take place. Now, if you've ever had government enforcement, no matter what type of government enforcement, come into your life and tell you about what you must do, like, for instance, I'm going to confess a sin to you. I didn't license my dogs a while back, and my girls, when they were young, you know, we'd be in the house, and they're running around. They're probably 6, 7, 8 years old. We got a ring on the door. You know, they hit the doorbell, opened up the door, and there is a police officer, humane animal control officer, standing at the door. She bent down to one of my daughters and said, "Hi, little girl." And she goes, "Hi." She says, "Do you have a dog?" And she goes, "Yes." And she goes, "Can I speak to your father, please?" And so I come to the door. She says, "Your daughter just told me you have a dog. Is it licensed?" And I go, "You've come to my door to find out if I have a dog and if it's licensed?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "No." She goes, "Let me write you a ticket." And she wrote me a ticket for my dog not being licensed, coming to my front door. And I thought, what? What is this? You just want to come in and check and see if I have any other violations inside of my house? It's almost like, you know, you admit to it. Now you don't want to say anything. You know, if somebody talks to you, you just give your name, rank, and serial number, that type of thing. But I'm telling you, look on Google Maps. You think you are private? You might as well forget it. It now goes to my front door. I looked on it recently and go, oh, there's my house. It shows everything right up to the driveway. You know, and I can look in the backyard from the aerial view. Not only can I look in the backyard, but I can look 3D bird's eye view. And I can go to my neighbor's house and I can see everything they have in their backyards too. And it's just like, wow, I'm no longer autonomous, a private citizen. I don't know if I ever have been. But this is how the Antichrist will seek to control you. It's already happening. It's already in motion. This Antichrist just needs to step in. How far away is it? I dare to think. I think it can be right around the corner. They can do pretty much whatever they want to right now. You know, they can even hear what's going on inside your house. They can put a laser beam on one of your windows from miles away, and they can listen to what you say in your entire house. And I'm told they can even do that from satellites. And so, you know, we're toast. We're pretty much toast as far as that's concerned. Now, what's our hope in all of this? How are we to be encouraged? It's almost over. We're almost done. We're going to be out of here. The Lord told us He's going to take us before all this transpires. And so that's why we look for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He warned us about all of this. He told us it's going to take place. And so we're not supposed to ignore it. That's the encouragement that's supposed to walk away with after reading this passage and knowing about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist and what they're going to do and what they're going to try to do to those who remain here. So please don't be discouraged. Don't say, well, that's it, my life is over. No, it's not. It's just going to begin. When He gets us, we have all of eternity to look forward to. But if you don't have Christ, it's of none effect. You're going to be caught in the system. Salvation is not yours. Now, for those of you who are here, we are going to receive communion this morning, and I'm going to have the worship team come up. And we're going to be playing a song here. And